Hello guys, Asmir here. Thank you for listening to my podcast. We recorded this episode just over 2 weeks ago and a lot has happened since then. Recently I've changed teams. I've moved to AFC Bournemouth since the season's finished. Really looking forward to the whole adventure, the new journey, new chapter in my career. Can't wait to meet my new teammates in July, meet the manager, meet the whole staff, the goalkeeper coach and get to work. I'm sure it's going to be an exciting season ahead. Really looking forward to being back. As you may or may not know, I was there 10 years ago on loan. I made a few appearances, which was part of my development, and really enjoyed my time there. And it's amazing to see this club in the Premier League, and I'm hoping to play a big part in taking this club forward. I know a lot of exciting things are happening at the club, so really, really looking forward to being part of this whole thing, and hopefully we can have a great season. Thanks for listening to this podcast once again. So we have some great football analysis coming up. And I hope you enjoyed as always. Appreciate the support. Hello and welcome to the Season of Sports with me, Asmir Begovic. Excited to have a football special show today. And joining me as always will be my producer, Rachel Humphreys. How are you, Rachel?
I'm good. I'm going to take a back seat today because I don't have anything to add on football, but I'm excited.
Yeah, well, I'm very happy to take the lead on this one, so no problem.
I think you
there.
Probably should yeah. do, yeah.
We've got some great guests today. Joining me is my good friend and Crystal Palace defender, Joel Ward. In the studio with us, which is nice. We also have The Mirror's John Cross and Sky Sports' Guillaume Balaguer. So we'll have an amazing football chat coming up in the show. This episode of Season of Sports is brought to you in partnership with GreatSave.com, the goalkeeping experts. Use the promo code #AB1 to get 15% off all sales Elite Aqua Gloves. So let's get into the show with my good friend Joel Ward, who's joining me in the studio here. He's a Crystal Palace defender, and you can find him on Twitter at Joel Ward 2. Joel, how are you, mate? Thanks for coming in.
Very well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, really appreciate it. It's a pleasure to have you here in our studios. You're a first ever in studio guest, so that's a big
first
honor to have.
Podcast as well. So
well, there you go. It's a big honor
best
to
for
have
everything.
So we're excited. And for those of you who don't know, Joel and I have a big history because we came through the ranks together at the Pompey in the Portsmouth Academy many years ago now. Huh?
Yes, many years ago.
Yeah, this was we had a good generation of players too, by the way, and there's still a few of the boys playing. Yeah, we have Mark Wilson, who's at West Brom now.
Yep.
We have, who else? Matt Ritchie from Newcastle.
Jason Pearce.
Where's he at? Charlton now? Yeah, I think he's at Charlton or anywhere, somewhere around there. So we had a good group of players, and we were only a centre of excellence. We didn't have the academy facilities or...
Not
at all. Or the luxuries that everyone else, we were in the proper little center of excellence setup, so it was good. And how's things with you, man? How's the season been?
It's been good. It's been a tough roller coaster year, but you know, it's all come good in the end. And it's just nice to have that security of being in the Premier League again.
Yeah, and how's Big Sam been? Did he make a big impact?
Yeah, massive impact. I think the way he came in, wanted to do his style, changed the team and everything like that. It took a bit of time to obviously take effect, but I think we saw, you know, towards the back end of the season what an impact it had on the squad and on the team and obviously on the results as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, hope you have a good summer. Let's get into our big football chat. We've got two other guests joining us. We have John Cross from the Daily Mirror. You can find him on Twitter at John Cross Mirror. And Guillaume Balaguer from Sky Sports. You can find him at Guillaume Balaguer. Hi, guys. Hi, Guillaume. Hi, John. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Hello, Asmir.
Absolute pleasure. Nice to be with you.
Well, it's a pleasure's all ours, and this is our first ever football special, so excited to have such a good group of guests on the show. And the first thing I want to get into, guys, is basically a Premier League review. I mean, what has been your storylines for the Premier League this year? John, I'll start with you. I know that we have at Chelsea made it maybe a little bit boring for you by dominating the league, but what has been your biggest storyline in this Premier League season?
Oh, I do think it has been Chelsea, and I'll probably drive you mad here, Asmir, as a player. But just to sort of the Antonio Conte story as well has been fantastic. I think he's gone from strength to strength. I know that you say that Chelsea have dominated, but I do think that the early days were testing, weren't they? Really, and I do think it took time, and people had their doubts. We were quite a little bit unsure, perhaps, over whether it would work, whether it would be a good fit. Chelsea have had their fair share of managers, that's for sure. And I think that those early hiccups made you wonder. And I just think the most impressive thing about Chelsea this season has been the way that to find that balance and, you can see the warmth and the togetherness, I think, within the squad. I think that they've made a back three trendy in the Premier League. And I think they've been a delight to watch. I don't actually, a lot of people talk about counter-attacking football and kind of defensive football from the detractors. I don't see it like that at all. I think one of the pleasures has been to see that Chelsea playing good, expansive football with exciting players. And there's always drama, I feel. There's good goals, good stories. And I think Chelsea have been the best story, I think, in the Premier League this season for me.
Well, it's nice to hear from John. Really, we'll take all the plaudits coming our way. So after a tough season, obviously, last year. So it's nice to hear that. Guillaume, what has been your biggest storyline of the Premier League season?
I was debating if we should look back at what we were saying about the Premier League when it started, mainly the Mourinho-Pep Guardiola future encounters and how them two were favoured to win the league and what's happened since then, or to look at the end of the season and look at Spurs as second as for me the other top positive story of the year. And I'll let somebody else talk about Pep and Jose. Spurs have been absolutely amazing again, punching above their weight. I know that we're getting used to see them up there third, second in the last 2 years, and we think, well, it has to be first next, instead of perhaps thinking that a club that have got a team that has got the sixth highest wage list, that from that point of view don't have any right to be there, that they've done it with young players, mostly English players, in the exciting way that they've done it as well, how they've been brave, how they pressure high, how they want to keep the ball, how well the foreigners have improved from previous seasons, and with the handicap that the new players have not added that much. I'm thinking of Sissoko and Jensen especially. So with all that in mind, that Spurs are second is just credit to the coaching staff of Mauricio Pochettino, and he's not surprised that that he's seen around by big clubs in Europe as potentially a candidate to manage them, because he has certainly maximised the potential of the side and has done it in a very exciting way.
Well, thank you for your thoughts, Guillaume, on that. What do you think, Joel? What has been sort of your stick-out
story? I think I always look at the competitiveness of the league. And this year, I think you see more than ever, the top six, top seven, the gap between them and the almost a mini league below that as well. And, you know, what a win can do for a team closer to the bottom can take you up three or four places in just one win or a couple of games back to back. You look at the top half and, you know, the resources in which teams have is, you know, huge now in the Premier League and the players that they can attract with that. But you know, it's great to see so many teams competing for that top spot, that first or second or top four for the Champions League, because I don't think it's in many other leagues is the same, in the sense that there's so many people or so many teams, you know, fighting for those positions, which really hots it up and makes an exciting prospect right at the start of the season.
Yeah, I think the incredible financial power of the Premier League makes it such a competitive league, and every team has got a star player, can pay really good wages, and that ultimately helps the whole balance of the league. And it's been another great Premier League season. I'm sure it'll be more competitive again next season with a lot of money coming in again, and we'll see how that works out. And guys, has N'Golo Kanté been your outstanding player like everyone else? Guillaume, I'll start with you first on this one. Has he been your most outstanding player this season?
I'd say so. There's been a couple of more players at Chelsea that could have got that award. Dele Alli should be certainly there. But the thing with Conte is that it's one of the few opportunities that we're going to have to actually award those kind of individual awards to somebody who's a holding midfielder mostly. Most of the time, if the top Premier League clubs do it right this season, that award will go to a top superstar forward possibly that will be arriving. But it is the chance, I think, this year to give it to him and to give it to Buffon, if possible, the Ballon d'Or, to reward roles in the pitch that have not been awarded as they deserve. I bet, ask me, you will give it to Buffon if you had the opportunity. And in the Premier League, perhaps you will give it to, I don't know, Courtois or another goalkeeper, because your role is absolutely crucial too, isn't it?
Well, thank you very much for pointing out the important role of a goalkeeper. Not many people do. So if I could vote for Thibaut, for sure. I you know, with all things aside, he's had a fantastic season and contributed massively to our success. And I think it's nice. I think that's been one of the refreshing stories with N'Golo Kanté. And funny enough, there's a running joke with their team that 70% of the world is covered with water and the rest is covered by N'Golo Kanté. So I wanted to get that on air. But he's been so crucial, and we love him. Like, we've made a big deal of N'Golo. And one of the most intriguing parts about him is that he's such a humble guy. I mean, he doesn't speak very much. He's so laid back. He's always interested more in the team's benefits rather than his own individual benefit. And you know, we couldn't be more pleased for him to get this award, and he's fitted right in and probably been the best transfer of this past year. And John, has he been a standout player for you, or is there anyone else maybe in the Arsenal team that you like, you know?
Well, look, I do think Kanté has been the outstanding player. I'd love to say something different to be different. But look, he's just been outstanding. And a few people have ribbed me over this, because here am I, sort of a kind of a red top reporter. We like our kind of, you know, spectacular stories and our superstars and our wonderful goals and our incredible pictures on the back pages. And here I am sort of kind of lauding a defensive midfield player, an anchor man. But actually, funny enough, I think he's actually developed his game from when he was the kingpin at Leicester last season, when he was kind of almost a midfield general. Nothing got past him, to a player who I think has pushed on. I mean, he covers every blade of grass, but he does so, I think, with a more attacking intent this year. I think he's actually pushed on as a player at Chelsea, and I think that's the sort of the marvellous part of it, I think. Look, you could look at Sanchez, whose stats are amazing. I don't know whether he's sort of kind of overall, you know, for the team, has he lifted the team that high? That's what I'd say about that. Lukaku, the top goal scorer, you know, for so long in the Premier League, had a remarkable season as well. And, you know, you've got to say Eden Hazard as well. But I just feel that Kanté, as a single individual, has just had so much more influence than anyone else I can think of. It's just a wonderful, wonderful player.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was one of the reasons, actually, I talked to him and I said, well, what made you choose Chelsea? I'm sure you had other teams and that were in for you. And he said the mentality of the manager is one thing. And also, like you touched on there, the ability to show how complete of a player he is, because we have probably had more ball possession this year than Leicester did in their title-winning season. So he's been able to show off other traits of his game. And he's able to contribute in that part. And I think that was a big motivation for him this year, going in and proving how good of a player he is. And he's arguably now the best holding midfield player in the world. So, you know, I'm sure he'll keep getting better and better. And hopefully that'll be at Chelsea for many years to come. And Joel, I know one of your teammates, Christian Benteke, has been really playing unbelievably well with Wilfried Zaha. On your team, who would you say has been the best player in the Premier League? And maybe who the toughest opponent you face as well?
I think, firstly, I have to probably agree with everyone here. You know, Kanté has been, you know, a standout player for two seasons now, I think, in the Premier League in my eyes. And like you touched on there, he's adapted his game, and he's been given that freedom to do that. Staying with what he is good at, and doing the basics of what he, you know, has built his game upon. But he's been able to elaborate that as well, which is fantastic. And like you said, obviously Christian and Wilf have had a huge impact on us, especially in the second half of the season. You know, Wilfred's been, you know, a light in many games, and set the stage alight, and, you know, he's drawn a lot of attention by doing that. And, you know, hopefully we can, you know, there's speculation and talks and everything like that happening, but hopefully we can keep hold of him, because he's a, you know, foundation to the club and the, you know, our success throughout this season. So,
well, before I get you guys' thoughts on the build-up and the summer ahead and the build-up for next season, there's been a huge debate going on around, obviously, with how much English football is helping the English teams in Europe and why they're finding it so difficult. Now, I do believe, and Guillaume, I'll come back to this, because obviously Real Madrid have been probably the outstanding team overall in Europe this year. that the competitive nature of the Premier League makes it so difficult for English teams to do well. I mean, you ultimately need such a big squad to be able to rotate players week in and week out. But, you know, one of our most difficult games this year, and shows the competitors of the Premier League, was Sunderland away. We barely scraped a 1-0 win away at Sunderland. This team was relegated weeks before the season ended. And do you guys agree that the competitive nature in the Premier League is hindering teams in Europe? And Guillaume, like I said, because of the Real Madrid fact, I'll come to you first again on this one.
They have been using their squad, and it's a big squad, and perhaps that has been the success of Real Madrid this season. Rotating has allowed, I think he's got 20 players, Zidane. 20 players were more than 1,000 minutes, which allows them to compete for everything else. So this is a team that has been, will be in the Champions League final, went far in the cup as well. So competitive he has been. He has demanded a lot of Real Madrid. What certainly happens is that there is more runs, there is more tackles, there is less rest in the Premier League than in any other. So I wouldn't put it so much to the competitiveness of the league. I would put it more to the style of football that gets practiced in the Premier League, because what it's demanded in England is not just that your team is very physical and that he does it for 90 minutes, that physicality, but also that there is less focus on the tactical and it's more box to box. It's more about the pace. And I think when you get into Europe, you need to have all the layers that are not required when to win the Premier League, for instance. It's a mixture of all that. It's a mixture, as we were saying, of lack of rest in the Christmas period, which forces the team to be tired by April when all the titles are decided. But it's something that people should look into without thinking, well, it's a competitive league, what can we do? And look for solutions, because between 2005 to 2009, when the English teams were dominating, the league was still competitive. But I think they had two teams, both Liverpool, Manchester United, Arsenal. They seemed to play a little bit different in the Premier League and in Europe, and required different players as well for those changes. That's perhaps the success or the secret of success at that period. And now, for instance, Chelsea, you've used 12, 13 players. If you did the same next season, you will struggle in Europe again.
Yeah, John, let me get your thoughts on this subject.
Yeah, it's something that I've, for various reasons, it's really sort of thrown up debate on several levels, actually, in the last sort of week or so, really, because I actually think that the first issue is, I mean, I was at Southampton last night, Jose Mourinho raised this good point about kind of, do we do enough to help English teams in Europe? I mean, Man United, albeit they'll field a team of kids on Sunday, why can't that game be played on Saturday? Because it's just my impression, I think, that sometimes the Premier League and maybe even the TV companies could do more to reschedule the games to give, I think, our teams a bit more help, a bit more breathing space, as they seem to do, I think, in other countries. So that would be my first point. I also think that basically the standard of defending, I think, in English football has never been so low. I think it's a general point, it's a general decline, and I think it's no surprise to me that when you get a brilliant, outstanding defensive unit, they excel in the division. I mean, Chelsea being a great example this season, Spurs as well, and I think they stand out. And I think that is a general problem that sort of affects our teams. I mean, look at Man City this season with their attacking prowess. I can't believe that they sort of, you know, were undone so easily. Their defence was poor. I think that, you know, I'm sure that Guardiola improved that. But look, I also think that we're lacking massive stars that we did have once upon a time. I'm not sure that we've had the world's greatest player since we said goodbye to Ronaldo. And I mean, that's why I think we need to keep the really, really top players in this country. Why I'm desperate for Chelsea to keep Hazard, why I'd like Sanchez to stay, and so on and so on. But look, I spoke to Cesc Fabregas after the game at West Brom on Friday night, and he was adamant that basically there is a more intense level and there's a more intense physical demand, I think, in English football. And he was saying it's much tougher. You can go to Burnley and get tested at Burnley in a way that some games won't but you don't get that level, I don't think, of opposition or examination with it within Spanish football. And I tend to agree with that. I've always been a passionate believer that the Premier League is the best league in the world. Do I think it's the best quality? No, I don't. But I do think it's the most entertaining, the most intense, the most competitive, simply because on any given day, as you were saying, Asmit, Chelsea can go to Sunderland and lose. And how is that possible? And I don't think that you see that on such a regular basis, for example, in Spanish football, Italian football. And I just think that that puts the physical demands on the players. Then come the Tuesday or the Wednesday in the Champions League, they are drained and they cannot lift themselves again. I think there's so many issues to this, but make no mistake about it, we are almost 5 years behind. And I find it quite depressing, really, because that's why I'm so desperate for Man United to win the Europa League. I really am, because we need an English team, I think, to fly the flag and give some European pride back. Now, I actually think that if there's one team that maybe could do it next season, it would be Chelsea. I think Pochettino, again, raises a great point about having two teams, if you like. Pochettino, I think, to me, has come closest to that because he can rotate both fullbacks to equal levels. He can change things up in central midfield. And actually, it was so surprising then to see Tottenham fall short in two competitions. So it desperately needs an improvement because it's quite depressing, I think, for English football at the moment.
Yeah, well, it's interesting to see what the summer ahead brings, because everyone's going to have to strengthen. I think that's key. Well, the squad depth is important, because I can't. The one thing I don't get is if even Mourinho, he complains about fixtures, but if you're at a big club, you want to be playing games, because that means if you're playing 50, 60 games a year, that means you're going far in four competitions and ultimately hopefully winning one or two of them. So I don't buy the fixture thing, but I think it is. There's a certain way of playing and organizing teams for the English Premier League and obviously the continental game. And having been part of that before, there is a huge difference. And, you know, you mentioned about keeping players. So I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on, and Guillaume, I'll come again first to you on this, on some interesting stories. Can you give our Season of Sports podcast some insights on player movement, managerial movements this summer? And the whole Hazard to Real Madrid thing is banned from this show, otherwise I'll get crucified from Chelsea fans. So you can talk about anything else, but not that rumor. So I'll leave it to you.
Oh, no, actually, let me start with that one, because Real Madrid went for Hazard. So there you are, end of story. Because he was in a potential list of Galacticos, but very soon they hear from Chelsea that they had no intention of selling. And Hazard is happy in London, so that's that. But obviously, they always look for the business model, for the football model. They look for something special. So they put a list of five players that they would like to have at least two of. It's De Gea being one. I think De Gea will end up at Real Madrid, and the players of Real Madrid feel that he's coming. Then, if they can, if the finances are right, and if they convince the players, they want to get either Griezmann or Mbappé, Dybala. Those are the kind of caliber. And Lewandowski is the other one that they heard that he will be willing to leave Bayern Munich. So they would try to get one of those. Mbappé, they're willing to pay 125 million euros. So let's see what happens on that.
John, just some other transfer insight going forward for the summer, and what your thoughts are.
This summer in English football, largely on the back of new increased TV money, I think kicking in really strongly for the first time, you will see an unbelievably busy window of huge deals. And I think it will be unprecedented. I think it will smash previous barriers as clubs like Manchester United, Manchester City, really, really go for it. I mean, I think City need to strengthen at all levels, you know, a new centre-half, new full-backs, right throughout. And I think, you know, Manchester United will go for it. Obviously, you know, Griezmann is sort of a prime objective. But again, it's so much about whether they can sort of do that with or without Champions League. I think Spurs, much as Spurs will be, where they can keep players as much as anything. Kyle Walker is, you know, clearly Manchester City's, you know, preferred right-back choice. And I do think that Chelsea will go massive. I mean, you know better than me, but basically, it's, you know, Lukaku, I think, is obviously all primed there, and I think it's quite clear that he would like to come. And if that shatters the £100 million barrier, then that's what it'll take. I think you'll see players like Ross Barkley perhaps leaving Everton and Spurs in for him. Eric Dyer could go to Manchester United. I do really feel that this summer is going to be busy, and I think you're going to see an awful lot of big money deals. I don't think Arsenal will be able to keep a hold of Sanchez. I think Ozil is probably lacking offers from elsewhere, so he might end up staying and signing a fantastic deal which he's been offered. But I think Arsenal will be very busy. I think Chelsea will be very busy. And I think the two Manchester clubs will really strengthen again. And I just think that top six bracket will really push on and make themselves, I think, trying to separate themselves from the rest and make themselves almost the elite band again. Because I think they've kind of felt that the levels are being pushed on, and the one thing they can do is strengthen themselves in the market, and they've certainly looked to do that.
Well, it's certainly going to be an interesting and intriguing summer ahead. And listen, John, Guillaume, thank you so much for joining me on the show. Really appreciate you guys being here with us and giving us your insight. Enjoy your summer, and I hope to see you guys early next season.
Thank you.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you. So I've still got Joe with me in the studio. Thanks for all your thoughts, obviously, on the past season. What's the summer ahead look like for you?
I think it'll be a busy one, obviously for the club, but also for myself. Obviously we want to kick on and take some downtime.
How much time do you get off? What's your schedule like?
I think we'll be back in start of July, ready to go. I think we, not 100% sure on what the pre-season will hold, but I know there'll be a lot of, as always, fitness and getting ready for that start of the Premier League.
All the good stuff, the fitness, yeah. Exactly. And we all love that.
But, I think it's going to be a busy summer. Be nice to get away and have a break and let the body rest and then kick on and go again.
Perfect. Well, listen, can't thank you enough for coming into our studio and joining us on this episode of our podcast. I hope to see you again very soon. We're going to keep in touch. Hopefully we get a game of golf in at some point. Can show me how it's done, as I'm not very good. Listen, all the best, and hope to see you soon. Thanks,
Joel. Thank you for having me.
So, Rachel, we're at the end of another show once again. It was, again, very, very enjoyable. We had three guests on the show.
Bumper edition today.
Yeah, we were overtime today, which was nice. We had our first ever studio guest, Joel Ward.
Great guest.
Which was amazing. He was a great guy, great guest. Make sure you follow him on Twitter and just general Old Palace fans. I'm sure you follow him already. So I'd like to thank all of them. And make sure you head over to our social media pages on Twitter, Facebook, My Official Ones, or the Season of Sport pages, and see clips of our show and just general to get in touch with us. In 2 weeks' time, we'll be talking tennis. Wimbledon's just around the corner, the biggest tennis tournament of the year. So that's definitely worth talking about. And we'll have two great guests there with Andrew Castle and Katie Swan. Don't miss it. Don't forget to subscribe to our show on Audio Boom, iTunes, or Spotify. And we look forward to hearing from you there. Write us a review as well. Very, very important, positive or negative. We like to hear those kind of things. And we'll see you guys in a couple weeks. And see you then.